Okay, page 5. The question we shall be doing today is based upon last class. Last class we mentioned Isaiah the prophet, Yeshua Navi, who says the Mashiach can come in two ways. Does anyone recall the two ways the Mashiach can come? What are the two key words that you need to know for your finals? On time and early. Good. Not exactly how Isaiah the prophet worded it. How did Isaiah the prophet word it? One involves teshuva, one involves the kates. Achishena and Beito. Thank you. Beito and Achishena. We learned how... What? Yes, I did last time. I'll do it again. Happy to. It's Beito or Achishena. Okay, Beito is in its time. That is the predetermined time that Hashem decided, whenever that time is. According to the Ramban, it's 6,000 years. Others say, no, there's a certain time. Hashem decided it is the time. Or Achishena, the ability to bring it forward. What is the Achishena principle based upon? How does it work? What is it? Let's have a look in the Gemara.
What's the literal translation of Achishena?
I'm not literally sure. It's to bring close, I think. Okay. Achishena to reduce. Yes. What is this based upon? Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, Ein David Ba, King David's progeny, referring to the Messiah, Mashiach. Is not. By the way, we're still studying Mashiach. You realize that, yeah? Okay, good. Ein David Ba, Ella Bador, Shekola Zakai, or Kola Chayav. There's two ways Mashiach will come. This is going to be our statement we should be analyzing for the rest of the class. And look at some fascinating sources on this. There's two ways Mashiach will come. It's all about the generation. The generation are either going to be really, really good or really, really bad. Okay? Either going to be doing really well and merit it through teshuvah, or really bad that they don't merit it, but we were guaranteed that Mashiach would come and the world has to be completed no matter what we're doing, because that's a given, independent of us. And he will just turn up. And that, by the way, is the Teshuva Kate's version, the Achishena Beito. Let's have a look at a great rabbi that met Mashiach. And talks about, in the Gemara, talks about his meeting Mashiach. Isn't that fascinating? Let's have a look. And by the way, if this rabbi met Mashiach, maybe any of us can meet Mashiach. And it goes like this. Rabbi Yeshua saw Elijah the prophet, Eliyahu Navi. Amalei. Eimat at Mashiach. What question would you have for Elijah the prophet if you met him? When is Mashiach going to come? It's a good question to ask Elijah the prophet. Because remember, Eliyahu Navi is the one who's going to announce him. We're on page 6 at the top. Please follow inside. He said, when are we going to see Mashiach? Amalei, zil, shayla didei. Go ask him yourself. That's cool, no? When Mashiach comes, don't ask me. I'm just the one who's going to announce his coming. He knows when he's going to come. Go and talk to Mashiach himself. Have a conversation. Hechiyatib, we go, where is he? How do I find him? He's in, you know, Mashiach Aras or something. I don't know. Is he Yeshiva University? Where is he going to be? Apitche Dromi, he's going to be at the gates of Rome. That's where he's sitting. Or my Simna, how do I know it's him? Does he have a sign saying Mashiach? Is he wearing a gold chain with Mashiach etched into it? Which he bought at that store in the old city with Hebrew on it. What's that called? What's that about? What's that woman called? Jewelry by someone, right? He'll have like a piece of jewelry. No! That's not going to help you. He said, I'll tell you, you're going to know. Yativ ben Aniv, Sov Lechalayim. He's going to be sitting among the poor people. And he's going to be helping the sick people, the Chalayim, the lepers. Okay? V'kulan shor v'asri v'chad zimna. Okay? He's going to be taking their bandages and wrapping them. There's the whole limit, by the way, just on this. I'm going into it now. He's going to be tying and turning and turning their bandages. Yerusharichad, Isurchad, this one and that one. Okay. Amar, he'll be saying to himself, Dimna Mabino, Delakiv, maybe this will be the moment when I'll be needed, I won't need to delay. So he's there at the gates of Rome, sitting among the poor people, sitting among the sick people, and he's helping them. That's what Mashiach is. Okay. So what does he go do? He's like, let's go find Mashiach. So the Gemara says, so Azal Gabe, Rabbi Yeshua went to meet Mashiach. Amalei, Shalom Alecha, Rabbi Amori. Hello, my rabbi, my master. Amalei, Shalom Alecha, Bar Loyoi. He says, peace be on you, the son of Levi. Amale le'imas atimar. He says, when are you coming? Right? Amale hayom, today. So Yeshua got very excited, you can assume. Today! Ran back and went back to Eliyahu. And he says, Ata legab Eliyahu. He returned to Eliyahu. And he says, Ma malacha? He said, well, what did Mashiach tell you? Amale shalom alecha bara. He says, shalom alecha. He said, hello to me. He said, oh, that's good. Oh, that's good. Avtachalacha ulavucha le'almadati. He guaranteed that both you and your father will have a place in the world to come. Okay, since he gave you a blessing of peace, shalom alechem. Right, he mentioned your father too, bar loivi. Okay, that's Rashi says. That's a good sign. Which, by the way, you can learn out. Saying shalom alechem to anybody is a good thing. I should give them a blessing, by the way. Anyway, that's not the purpose. But then he says, Shakur ba shakabib, he lied to me. Imagine that. I'm assuming this has not happened the same day, this conversation. He said he lied to me. Imagine that. Rabbi Yeshua's complaining that Mashiach lied to him. By the way, if you mean Mashiach, I wouldn't accuse him of being a liar, by the way. Da'amali said to me, Hayom etina, he's going to be coming today. V'lo'atab, he didn't come. Amalei, he said back to him, Hachim elacha, this is what he said to you. And this is what he meant. Hayom, the hayom he said, when he said today, he didn't mean today. He didn't mean today. He meant the day. He meant the day. What's the day?
Not early.
Hayom im bekolo tishma'o. He was actually quoting a verse from King David in Tehillim 95:7. Today, if you listen to my voice. In other words, the day that you listen to me, that you do what you're meant to do, I will come. Meaning that you have the ability through your actions to bring me. He wasn't lying. You just misunderstood the word hayo. Hayo means can mean today. It can also mean any day. Any day that what? Any day that you do the right thing, I will come. That is the implications of the verse. Okay. So what exactly are we meant to do in order to bring Mashiach? Turn over the page. Let us look at the Sfas Emes, the Chasam Sofa, and the Chavetz Chaim, and look at a few different opinions as to how this works. Says the Sfas Emes, Kevan shelidei sirat chinam nechrav. You know what? Let's work this out. Since we know the second temple was destroyed because of sinat chinam, that we hear every Tisha B'Av, then we can ergo learn out from that, that al yedei avat, not avat chinam. I've never seen anyone write about avat chinam. Avat chinam means free love. We're not into that. It's not the 60s anymore, right? But avat Yisrael, the love we have one for another, yinivne bezrat Hashem isbarach, he says. If baseless hatred destroys, then focused love is going to rebuild. Okay? So now we're lasering in on what exactly we need to do in order to bring Mashiach. We know we've got to do something. We know the ability to do it. The prophet speaks about it. The Gemara spoke about it. Mashiach himself, whatever that means, the potential Mashiach of that generation, spoke to Rabbi Yeshua and says, I'm telling you, you can do it. Hayom, I'll come today. You just got to get your act together. Or things have to get really, really bad. We're going to go with the get your act together version, by the way, because you want to know. Says the Chasam Sofa, let us have a look inside the Pesach Haggadah that has a bit of a blueprint about Mashiach. And he says the following, Shema Tomar, this is his commentary on the Pesach Haggadah, on, by the way, Halach Ma'anya, we'll see why. What do you want to do?
It was a bird, it really scared me.
Scared of birds?
It was really scary.
Okay. It was an eagle or something, or a hawk?
Yes.
Okay, fine. Shema Tomar, person will say, Ma Heravachnu B'Siyah Mitzrayim. What was the purpose of getting to Egypt? Why did it take us out of Egypt? We went into exile. We've been in exile. We're still in exile. What good do we have for leaving Mitzrayim? V'anachu B'Gola. And he says, Ella, Shebagala Mitzrayim Lo Yachal Na'alu L'Dagel Alach Keitz. You see, when it came out of Egypt, there was nothing we could do that could shorten the exile. The Keitz was a given time. Hashem knew it. Hashem was going to stick in it. And he took us out that year, in the Jewish year 2448. Nothing we can do about it. Over Galut Zay says, however, in our exile, the fourth of the four, as we said, the Galut Edom that we spoke about, Zebiyadenu, it's within our hands. Lekarevet haketz, to shorten the ketz. Al yedei tzedakah, acts of tzedakah, umasim tovim, and acts of kindness. Once again, he doesn't say you've got to keep kosher, that's a good thing to do. He doesn't say you've got to eat matzah, that's a good thing to do. He says the mitzvah we need to focus on are the ones between us and each other. That is what is going to reduce the amount of exile. He's not saying, oh, let's be nice to each other. He's saying, no, that's the way it is. That's what Chazal was saying. And that's why, is he mentioning the Haggadah? How does the Haggadah end? Anybody know, remember? What do we sing at the end? The Shana Ba for Yerushalayim. That is not a reference to May next year, maybe on a Pesach program, not in Mexico, Cancun, or Florida, right? Maybe we'll be celebrating in Jerusalem. No, that's not what it means, although that's also good. What it means is, next year, B'ezrat Hashem, we should be with Mashiach in Eretz Yisrael with the end of the Galut. So that's how it ends. How does the Haggadah begin? What's the first part of the Bar? Kol dichven yetev yechal. All people who need, all poor people, those who are hungry, come sit and eat. He's saying those two start the Haggadah and end the Haggadah in order to make a point. What is that? How do we end up L'shana Babi Yerushalayim? By bringing people who need physical sustenance, or, I should say, and I'm a little biased about this, but not only physical sustenance, but spiritual sustenance as well. Right? Just like Avraham Avinu used to feed his guests, he would also teach them about Hashem. Poor doesn't just mean people who don't have money. It means them as well. But he's also saying those who are poor in terms of don't have information and don't know what it means to be a Jewish person, that is also considered to be an oni, a poor person, to some degree. Okay, so come sit, come learn, and come eat. If you do that, that's how we get to L'shan Babi Yerushalayim. He's connecting the two. There's an arc. That Gala begins that way and ends that way. V'niz kele shana Babi Yerushalayim. That means next year you'll be in Yerushalayim. Sharei b'yadeinu hadavar. Same theme. Ability of Mashiach is in our hands. Says the Chafetz Chaim in the book Shmirat HaLashon, in the second book, Chelek Sheni, chapter 7, the following words. He's going to quote the Kabbalistic Zohar. We're on page 7, note 5. V'nei kasvu asfarim b'shem azad kadosh. The rabbis quote the holy Zohar. The Bekinishta Chada. Now, let's get into an area that has been troubling our people for thousands of years, and every single community that I've ever seen. And this is unbelievable. And I once heard a talk from Rav Moshe Weinberger from uptown, and I think I even asked him myself somewhere. I was with him somewhere, I discussed this idea with him. How can we see so much machloket in synagogues? Have you noticed that? I always thought that this was an aberration. This was like unusual. Like arguments, fighting in shuls, and disagreements. And firings and break off minyanim. You know what I'm talking about?
I know you're talking about.
Yeah. Disputes in synagogues. Anyone here been in a synagogue where there's. Right? Yeah. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Yes? Yeah. Right there. You know what I'm talking about? Yes. Someone knows what I'm talking about. Oh, you would know what I'm talking about. Arguments and this shouldn't be the rabbi and why is it the president and fighting and leave the window open or close the window, but in every shul everywhere. There's one argument always happens. Window open, window closed. AC on, AC off. Arguments and break off minyanim. I wouldn't double with that person. You know that old joke? Guy stranded on a desert island, right? And they find him at the three. He's got two synagogues. Why do you have two synagogues? Don't need one. He says, this one I daven in. This one I wouldn't step in if you paid me. You know? It's a joke, but there's a sad truth underneath it. Right? It goes right back. The Chofetz Chaim is going to say something unbelievable. If you want to talk about chesed, he's not saying you've got to change the whole world. When you read the statements of the Chasam Sofa, the Sfas, the others, like, oh, you're going to love everyone, and everyone's going to be like completely happy and loving each other, and there has to be Avat Yisrael among all the Jewish people. He's like, no. No, that's impossible. He's like, just focus on what you can change. And look what he says. And he's quoted the Zohar. He says, the Zohar says that even if one congregation, Beit Knesset, Bet Knesset, Chad, one of them, Imo Yushur Midat Shalom, if they had real Shalom, they could bring Mashiach. If there were just one synagogue in the entire world that had real shalom, Mashiach would come. Maybe by synagogue he means one community, but he didn't actually say it. It says one synagogue. You know what that means? There isn't one synagogue in the entire world that has real shalom. Because if there was, Mashiach would come. He'd be here already. He must be there. Not even one synagogue's got it right. I'm quoting the Chofetz Chaim. Don't shoot the messenger. No, just say don't shoot the messenger. Im kein biyat haMashiach teluya biyadeinu. Same thing. It must be, if that's what the Zohar says, we can bring shalom into our communities, right? Not the world, our communities, right? The people sitting next to us in synagogue, people involved in our community. And by the way, this is your community right now, where you're studying Stern College, in case you're wondering. And you're like, well, I don't go home, I'm here. So this is your community. This is what it means by your Beit Kenishta. The Yadua Sheminat HaShalom, it's known, he says, that the Midah of Shalom, En Ani Yochom Leskot Ba Rak Im Niyeh Zehir Mitzchila Mavon Shtinat Chinam. The only way you're going to achieve this Midah of Shalom, of peace, which is what we're talking about, is only if you're careful about not hating other people. You can't love until you take away the hatred you have to other people. Right. And that's what he says. That's why this is what we should be working on. This is the tafkid of our generation. Working on this thing of baseless hatred, hating people because I just don't like them. You know? And obviously, speaking Lashon Hara about them is what comes out of that. If you don't like someone, you're gonna talk smack about them, as we say in modern parlance. Right? And if you're able to do this, you'll share in the rebuilding of the future temple. Because without this, the temple remains destroyed. And the Gemara says that the any generation that doesn't rebuild the temple is that they destroyed it. Because the destruction wasn't a one-off reality, it's a constant destruction. Why? Because rebuilding, it's in our hands. So there must be that we're not bringing shalom, that means we're still destroying it. Every generation that doesn't rebuild it destroys it. And that temple in the coming Mashiach. When we say building the temple, that's what we're talking about. Okay? That is the Chafetz Chaim. So far it's looking tricky, difficult, but possible. Let's make it even easier. Right? We move from the world, and now let's zone in. Let's have a look at Rabbi Dessler. So we've moved forward in history now. Rabbi Dessler wrote in the 1940s, 50s, 60s, 70s. He was actually lived in Europe, then in England, then in Israel. And he writes about this as well, this whole Mashiach thing. Because that's what we're discussing, right? And he says, I don't get it. What's the purpose of galut? Exile. There is a concept, maybe a little bit of background, that which we're going to see, that there has been something called Yeridot Hadorot. Yeridot, the decline, Yeridot, of the Dorot, of the generations. Yeridos Adoros, Ashkenaz will call it. What does that mean? That we're not as great as our parents. And we're not as great as our grandparents. Right? Everyone's grandparents, right? You know what I'm talking about? Good people, nice, respectful, yeah? And their parents were better than them. And their parents were better than them. And actually, that's the way it goes. Every generation that gets further away from Har Sinai, and every generation gets further away from the creation of mankind, which was the perfect prototype, just like a photocopy eventually gets worse and worse and worse. So one second. According to that concept of Yerida Dorot, then how exactly are we meant to bring Mashiach? If Rabbi Akiva couldn't bring Mashiach, yes, if King David couldn't become Mashiach, if Hillel and Shammai could bring Mashiach, if the Stipler, I mean, how far do you want to go? If the Rishonim, if the Acharonim, and if all the modern commentators and all the great people who came before us couldn't bring Mashiach, then what chance do we have? It's a fair question, right? It's not my question. That we're going to focus on a little bit now. What chance have we got, basically, is the question we have to look at. What chance have we got of bringing Mashiach if those who came before us couldn't? And the answer is we still can. But the question is how. Says Rav Dessler like this: Hari adorot pochtim v'holchim. So another way of saying it: they are lessen and they go. They lessen and they go. Less. Right? Pochet. Right? Less, but move forward. Yechevah tikkun. So who's going to be metakin? If they couldn't metakin the mistakes, then how can we? He says something unbelievable, which is very heartening for us. Avala emet. You're on page 8. Avala emet. Here's the truth. The truth is, the generations that came are mekatnim hasviva midrechet yoter mitorah. The further you are from Har Sinai, the less they are. Hakiddush Hashem, however, the ability to make a Kiddush Hashem, since we are at a generation which is so low, right, not just us, the people around us, the world we're living in, you know, we see things in our generation. One day, in 2015, right, we see things that our great-grandparents, that the Chofetz Chaim didn't see his entire life. In one day. Actually, in 1 hour, you know. Things that our grandparents didn't have to deal with, we have to deal with now. All the schmutz and the terrible things and the terrible role models and the horrible stuff. Right? They spent their entire lives, they didn't see that. Right? The world, the whole world, the Jew, that non-Jewish world was like respectable, it was nice, it was clean, there was a certain standard. I mean, even in my lifetime, I mean, not that old, but, you know, television when I was growing up, it was relatively clean. You know what I'm saying? There was a wholesomeness to it. And now I don't need to tell you. So he's like, you know what? That's actually going to work in our favor. Weird, right? That's actually going to work in our favor. Because the Kiddush Hashem Shebechol Netiyah Kal LaTorah, because you don't have to do too much. You do one small little thing you do, Lavodat Hashem, to serve Hashem, is worth much more than those who came before us. You see, back then, they had to become complete tzaddikim, they had to study, right? They had all this wonderful world around them, the Torah was there, they had these great sages that were surrounding them, so they were expected a lot more in our generation, when everything's against us, when everyone's atheistic, when people are fighting us, people don't like us, you say you're religious, they laugh at you, you say I keep Shabbat, like, what? You can't, like, pick up a phone? What are you talking about? You say you don't go to a Torah class, they're like, oh, you're crazy. You're crazy Balchuva, you're flipped out, or whatever they call you, whatever they accuse you of. A small action our generation is worth a lot more. I'd like to give you a metaphor that was given to me by a rabbi in Eretz Yisrael, who works at the Kotel. And he said, really, the way to really appreciate this is actually by looking at the Kotel itself. The Kotel itself, and the stones that build it, will reveal something to you. Anyone been down to the tunnels? I hope so. The best view in all of Israel. Yerushalayim, I think all of Israel. The Kotel tunnel tall underneath. If you go down, there are massive rocks at the bottom, yeah? Azoy and Azoy, you know what I'm saying? You have tons and tons. It's all trying to figure out how they got them over there. I've done this tour like 30 times. I take students all the time. And then above it, you have other rocks, right? Which are a little smaller, right? Looking like that, you know what I'm saying? Looking like that, you see? And then above them, they get a little smaller, you know? And above them, they get a little smaller than that. Like that, you see? There's more of them, there's more of them. And you get to the top, and suddenly, right at the top, they get back to the plaza, and right at the top, little tiny stones on top, like that. Whoop, whoop, you know what I'm talking about? These ones, it would take, you know, hundreds of people to move. And this one, you can pick it with one hand. Why is that a nice metaphor for this idea? Because these don't support, these are supporting. These are previous generations that come before us. But we're not meriting it. There is a cumulative reality. They bore a lot more responsibility. We're basically up here, which is a good place to be. We're on top. But we come on the backs of these people. So it's not each generation does it. It's in the merit of previous generations, but also building up upon them. Building up upon them. When we stand, we get the best view, by the way. Because we're on top. But we come on the back of them. We're not nothing, but we're not as great as them. We know that. I mean, I say, just look at your grandparents. You're like, oh, so nice, right? Those grandparents are nice and sweet. You know, they don't curse too much, right? And they're good people. They went through things, and they always said, what's hard? And, you know what I'm saying? We all feel that, you know? And if you got the merit, meet your great-grandparents, right? But at the end, we're built on the top of them. So it's not just us who are going to do it, because we can't do it. It's in their merit, okay? So they had to do tons. They had to study in Jewish man of Chesed, learn so much. And then you know, his stories of Sadiq and previous generations, they did so much. You're like, what can I do? And the answer is, you actually don't have to do too much. What you do, that small little, just learning something small, the Chofetz Chaim is going to back this up beautifully and give you practical advice on this. One small action by us is worth years of what they did. And ergo, he actually quotes and says that we know, this is from the Arizal, that the Kedusha of the Tanaim and the Amorayim, the holiness of the early commentators, the early Mishnah writers and the Gemara writers, Hudavah, Mavil, they were great people. They were astounding. I mean, the average Tana was of resurrecting the dead. You know what I'm saying? These are great people. Right? We can't do 1,000 what they were doing. They shivla Rav, so he answered and said, what did the Arizal respond to this question? Sha'ata gavra ma'od ha-sitra achra. Since the sitra achra, the negative spiritual world that is around us, is so strong, yeah? Hama'at she'osim ata, a small thing you do now, chashuv ne'Hashem, is worth to Hashem, kaharba rishonim. To a tremendous amount they did. Since the sitrach, or the negative spirit, that's a Kabbalistic way of describing the negative yetzara that is around us, which we don't need to be told because we know, right? You just step outside, you're like, oh my goodness, right? That's taken into account. That's taken into account. Right? Back then, people went to class, they studied Torah all day, and they did that. And for us, you do a little bit, you do a small mitzvah, you do a little bit of chesed, it's considered what they were doing. So our rocks are equal to their rocks. It's just a matter of perspective. And we're all part of the same wall, if you will. So that's why the Chofetz Chaim says so beautifully, page 9, turn over, Vayayim sha'ol yishalein. Let's say you really asks, but manataken, how can we change? Right, by the way, just for interest, when Rav Dessa was writing about 80 years ago, he's quoting the Arizal from hundreds of years ago, I mean, you know, in their generation, they thought, oh, it's terrible now. Can you imagine when they saw what's happening today? They'd faint. They'd melt into a puddle. Right? By the way, you know, when the Jewish people were in Mitzrayim, it was also very, very bad. They reached the lowest level of Tumah, the 49th level of Tumah in Mitzrayim. That's why it says that Hashem took us out of Egypt, as opposed to who? The Malachim. Aniva lo Malach. Aniva lo Saraf. Me and not an angel, me and not a fiery. I came myself. The Arizal actually says, because it was so shmutzi in Goshen, which was in Mizraim, it was so bad that even the angels would have been affected negatively. So Hashem himself gave you had to go in and take him out. That's why it says in the Haggadah, Anim v'lo malach, Anim v'lo sarah. It was so bad. That wasn't conventional, it's like now? I mean, I don't know exactly where they were up to back then. It probably wasn't good, but I mean, it's probably on par with what we have to deal with now. So the Chofetz Chaim says, so what am I going to do? What can we do? So what can we do to bring Mashiach? And he answered and said, Hashem doesn't want that big stuff. He doesn't want anything. There's nothing massive. Oh, I got one of the greatest Dakers, the greatest Torah. No, you're missing the whole point. He says, rather, the varm sheiv shalanu lasiga. I'm not expected to do great things. Right? Ela kol echad vechad, rather each and every person, should do what they are able to do. If you can learn Mishnah, do that. You should stop work for a little bit and learn. Learn a little Mishnah. You do Ein Yaakov, right? Stories, right? Right? Midrash, stuff like that. Right? I mean, there was no art scroll or felt time when the Chofetz Chaim wrote this. But in today's, take an English book. I just learned something good. Just a little bit of learning. Learn what you can. Do a little bit. But if you're a great person, they say, that's why, my brothers and dear friends, whatever we can do to bring Mashiach. Everyone has the ability. Call echad of everybody. It's not the rabbi's job to do it. It's all of us. We're all involved in it. Yitzchazek l'shuvah teshuvah shlema. We should all do teshuvah. Lefnei Hashem, kedei shenizka letgalot, kavod Hashem, in order to we can be worthy and merit to bring Mashiach. Mishchem v'mhiri av'meinu amein, as we says. Right? Everyone's going to do a little bit of chesed, a little bit of mitzvah, whatever it is. So Rav Dessa, turn over the page. I know we're going fast, but we've got a lot to do today. Rav Dessa says, I don't even understand this. What does it mean it's got to be like really good or really bad? Why can't it just be that we're all average? Why does it have to be the generation has to be like really... Remember that one we looked at rubbish at the beginning? Yeah? It got to go really, really good or really, really bad. Why can't it just be we're all like, okay? Right? There's a middle path. Why is that pointed out by the Gemara? Any answers to that? Anyone to think of the answer to that? Why would it be? Why does the Gemara say like, totally Zakai or totally Chayav? Yes.
Not everyone would deserve it.
Well, with this final redemption, we're going to try to bring everyone with us. We're going to try to bring everyone with us. We want everyone to deserve it. So why all bad? Why can't just wait? You know, generations like, okay, if they're, you know, they're all right, well, I'll come and bring Mashiach. Yes, Rabbi. So this seems to be very, very good. Seemingly, if you're average, what do you say? I'm okay. I'll do my thing. I'm all right, Jack. You know, I'm okay. But if things are extreme, then the reaction is extreme as well. I think that's what Rav Dessler is saying. Let's learn this piece inside together. It's a very deep idea, which is Rav Dessler's way, but it makes a lot of sense. Key. It's very, very difficult to understand. Right, we're on page 10, note 8. The key eza koach tamon bedor. What exactly is being hidden in the generation? This power, shekula chayav, right? Shemachamato karufu yotel gulim mashiach mashed dora tovara. What does this guilty generation have more of an ability to bring mashiach? The generation which is a mixture of good and bad. Why should it be like? You say, you know, some good people, some bad people. That would do it. No. If they're all really bad, Mashiach is coming. But why? Why shouldn't everyone's really bad, you know, be better than some good, some bad? And this is literally everyone, majority of the people, I don't know. But let's just take it as general terms.
I don't really get what his question is.
His question is based upon the Gemara. We started this class with the Gemara a few pages back, which you may have forgotten, so we'll do it again. Because if you're perplexed by it, then the other people are too. This is Rav Yochanan, and he says, "Ein bein David ba ela bador shekula zakai o kol chayav." Mashiach ain't going to come unless everyone's really, really good or really, really bad. Okay. So Rav Dessler is focusing on the last part of that.
Okay.
Really bad. The really good thing, we figured it out. That we looked at already. That was the first part. What does really good mean? It means making shalom, right? Bein Adam lachaveru seems to be the focusing on, and we'll pick on Shabbat later. But that seems to be the focus of it because sinas chinam destroyed. So Avad Yisrael is going to build. And it's like, by the way, not the entire world, just a community. As I know, in a community, even a few people. And like, but how can I merit me? I'm nothing, Rabbi Akiva, all these great people. It's like, you know what? A little bit for you is worth a lot for them. So that's what we looked at so far. That's the good people, the tshuva people. He's like, but how about the last part, the latter part of that statement? Everyone's really bad. How can I just say good and bad? Why all bad? All good are here. You're all good, you marry Mashiach. But why all bad? Yeah? That's his question. Get it now? Is that clear? Yeah, sure? Great. So he says like this. I've read this piece many times. I'm still trying to figure it out. But this is what he says. You can see it inside in the Hebrew and the English. Acha'imian hu. He says, I'll tell you what it is. She calls man she yesh tarovis tovara. Whenever you have a mixture of good and bad, mishtamesh adam betov shebo uksotara. People will use the good to cover the bad. We all become very inauthentic. We cover over the bad by using the good. I know I don't do this, but I do this. You know, we kind of like fool ourselves. Or mashla et atzmo, and everyone starts to think, oh, I'm a tzaddik. Everyone starts to think they're really, really good. Yeah, okay, but matzav kezeh ha'adam rachok m'tshuva. You see, when a person's like that, when they don't see their bad points, because, you know, I do good stuff, they're far from teshuva. Right? Well, that's what we're trying to get to, by the way. Tshuva, that's going to be the ultimate answer, right? But rach, and if you're far from tshuva, racha gam mechana lagula, and therefore you're far from the gula, for the redemption. Now, if you got a generation that's all, it's like really everyone's like involved in terrible stuff, really schmutzy, right? From the greatest people down, everyone's doing terrible things. Shadam chormi megusham ve'enbo gam. Nidnu kal shel ruchinot. I mean, like, really bad. Ah. What happens? So when you're like that, when things are so bad, right, and so, like, seemingly lost, he says, davka masav zeh, specifically in that situation, male achad yeshba malat pshitut. Right? You have something called simplicity. Right? Everyone knows they're bad. Everyone agrees. They're not pretending they're anything else. They're not pretending they're religious when they're doing nasty things besides that, in business, wherever. You can't hide the bad. because it's all bad. Baramut vashliot, by using trick, you know, by trick, you can't fool yourself.
But you're simple if you're in an entirely bad generation.
Yeah, because it's obvious. Everyone can see where you are. There's no, oh, we're pretending. We're like, on the surface, I'm religious, but, you know, I'm doing terrible things on the, you know, behind the scenes. It's like, we know how bad you are. It's out. Everyone can see it. Right? It's online. It's all visible for everyone to see. Right? Everyone's saying they're tzaddikim, and everyone knows what's really happening. Terrible thing. But he's like, you know what? Happens to be there is something good that comes out of that. And that is that you can't fool anyone. Everyone knows the truth about you. Everyone understands. And that at least has a chance of you saying, you know, I'm really bad. I've reached rock bottom, as they call it, in the addictions world. I can only go up. You don't have any merit that's going to cover it over. You start to think that you're actually a tzaddik. Now that brings it closer to tshuva. You know? That person realizes that, you know, if Hashem doesn't save me now, I'm over. Avuhud legamrech, so that you'd be lost forever. Right? Ka'mor, ein lanu lashin, and that's when lashen, we have no one to rely upon, ela alavin yishuv shemayim, our Father in Heaven. So anyway, when things get really bad in a generation, physically, spiritually, I don't know, when things are really bad, then suddenly, oh, I can't rely on myself, the few good mitzvahs I do are going to save me, like, I can only rely upon Hashem. And that's what Hashem wants. Okay. Now, we don't want to go that route. Let me be very clear. We want the first one, right? That the few things we do are going to bring us back. But he's trying to figure out the last part of that statement of the Gemara, I think. I mean, that's what he's answering. That when things are like that, then there's this authenticity, there's this realness that Vakarazu, this recognition, that's what brings Mashiach. That things are so bad, the situation in the world is so bad, that only Hashem can get us out because I can't do it. Yeah? Okay. What was that? Oh, they're doing. Someone's crying. Okay. Page 11. Let's change topic a little bit.